Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So, Vic Aladef, we're going to talk to you simply straight off without an introduction. Vic Aladef, our Australia correspondent, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. Good to talk to you and intrigued by the discussion that's going on over there.
Yeah, so what do you think? You know, if somebody sent me a message yesterday to say spilling your coffee is the adult equivalent of popping a balloon as a child. So we just got into that conversation. Can you think of any offhand?
Well, just losing one's marbles entirely. Which is
I suppose that's Shakespearean, right? You know, the stages of life, sans everything, when we come back to being a child again. Yeah, so I guess you lose your marbles and then you lose them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about what is happening in Australia. Sydney Jews, they seem to cope better than Melbourne did. Why is that?
It's an interesting one because it goes to the difference between the two communities. And this would be of interest, I think, to listeners. Sydney and Melbourne, the Jewish community is approximately the same size. Melbourne's slightly larger. However, the Sydney community has a very centralized structure. In other words, we have something called the JCA, the Jewish Communal Appeal, mm-hmm. which is not just about fundraising. It's also about planning, and it's also about infrastructure, how many Jewish schools we need, how many do we not need, etc. Interestingly, it was established in the throes of the 67 war, because suddenly it was deemed that there was a need for a centralized response to what was happening in the 67 war. And so when COVID, because we have a centralized structure, a central body was able to and had the deemed authority to have medical expert and planning expert and there's a Jewish hospital and how they would coordinate. So, and people listened and took instructions, as it were, where Melbourne, even a slightly larger community than Sydney, does not have the centralized structure, and where organizations pretty much do their own thing, whether it's fundraising or whether, in this case, during COVID. And so there was the CEO of Jewish Welfare in Melbourne, to an extent, managed to get sort of centralized events happening. But a study has actually been done comparing the responses by the two communities to what happened during COVID. This came out very strongly saying that the impact that Sydney coped better because of the structure of the community here. And given that there's a strong former South African presence in both communities, Sydney and Melbourne, I thought this is something that would be actually
very,
of interest to
very,
you know,
very interesting. You know, I'm pretty sure that when all this is over, we're going to look at things like this and try and understand which cities, which countries, which approach worked better. Was it ones with the centralized structures? Was it about information? Was it about, the different types of facilities? It will be very, very interesting to see. And I think we'll be looking at these things for many years to come, I think.
Exactly. And in fact, because of this Jewish Communal Appeal here in Sydney, it was able to draw on its resources and establish an $18 million community support package. You know, that obviously went a long way to helping people in need, organizations which are struggling, etc. So while I say the CEO of Jewish Care in Melbourne managed to collaborate with some organizations, The finding, which has been done by a professor at one of our universities, has found that because of Sydney's centralized structure, the community here, you know, basically was in better shape coming out of it and during it, actually.
Amazing. Another interesting conversation I wanted to have with you is that Australian Jews enlisted in a disproportionate number for World War One. I wasn't aware of this.
So that's right. So during World War One, it was people enlisted voluntarily for service in the Australian forces during World War One, and it was expected that to keep the proportions of the Jewish community as vis-a-vis the whole community, the whole population. About 5,000 Jewish people would have enlisted, and almost double that number enlisted. It was over 9,000 members of the Jewish community enlisted for service. So more than double the percentage, and increasingly larger than the sort of national proportion of volunteers enlisted for service. And we've talked before a number of times about the head of the Australian Armed Forces in World War One was Major General Sir John Monash, who discussed as being possible head of the entire Allied war effort during World War One. So the Jewish community certainly distinguished itself in not only in terms of numbers, but even Victoria Crosses and distinguished medals of service during that. And why that's current now is obviously we just had November 11, Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. And so there are national and different states remembrance organizations here for Jewish ex-servicemen and women. And so that fact has come to the fore again, you know, as members of the Jewish community sort of stopped to pay their respects, you know, to those who lost their lives in the service, you know, for this part of the world, you know, during World War One and obviously the other wars as well.
For those of us who aren't that familiar, just explain to me when Jews came to Australia, in which waves, if that's what happened.
Yeah, it is what happened. So the non-Indigenous people, in other words, Aboriginal people, have been here for 60,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the first non-Indigenous people arrived here 250 years ago, so 1788,
right,
on what were called the first fleet, so 11 ships of convicts. And on those 11 ships, there were approximately 16 Jews.
Wow.
Who were regarded as convicts. Now, people claim that now as yichus. If you had people.
We were here with the first convicts, right. Okay. Yeah, my family were criminals back in, lovely.
Well, and the thing is, and the word criminals, you know, some of them were literally sent out to the colonies, as it was called, for stealing bread and lace, They weren't called, you know, murderers and rapists and ex-murderers. And so Jews have been here since the first fleet, which was 1788. And so the first lot of Jewish people here were from Britain. And then the waves, exactly as you say, started happening after major issues in Europe. So you're talking about the Hungarian, what happened in Hungary.
Mm.
And then when the Soviet Union collapsed and when people could leave. And then South African immigration. And so different waves of immigrants from different parts of the world. So Melbourne Jewry, as a result, has a very strong Polish connection. Hungarian is more in Sydney. South African in both cities, Sydney and Melbourne. And so different waves went to different places, mainly Sydney and Melbourne, obviously. But yes, certainly different waves, and over the years. Yes, exactly. But going back to 1788, the very first fleet.
Incredible.
There's also some charming incidents, you know, like the very first policeman was a Jewish person. The very first detective was a Jewish person. And there's a lot of, you know, things like that through the years, where Jewish community can point to having been here and having basically been part of the growth of this country, in terms of non-Indigenous settlement, I hasten to add.
Absolutely fascinating, Vic Aladef. It's just about to go 7 o'clock. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Really, really interesting. I love to hear about that sort of history. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.